Hello, and welcome to Your Parents' Basement. This week, we get back to our usual format by playing a unique cyberpunk RPG for the Super Nintendo. From 1993, we're playing Shadowrun, a cult classic based on a novel and a tabletop role-playing game. I'm Huell Hauser, taking over hosting duties this week, as our regular host is feeling a bit under the weather. But he's here, toughing it out tonight. It's Stephen Greenwell.
Hey, Huell. Thanks for having me. I got a care package from a Mr. Scooter in the mail today.
Oh.
And I've been feeling weird since then. It had some powder in it. But I can't wait to talk about Yodnoid tonight.
I think those are just pixie sticks, so.
Yeah, they might have just broken open.
Well, I'm excited to talk about the Noid.
Well, you might be disappointed. Our other regular co-host is a guy who only rolls sixes. It's Todd Brisket.
Hey, everybody. My data stick is pulsating, and I'm ready to jack in.
We're all ready to. Today, we actually have two special guests and friends of the show. The man who nominated this game is a guy who knows his way around Nintendo Power and Little Samson. It's our old buddy, DJ.
Hey, so I was wandering in an alley, and this talking dog told me I should come to this podcast. I'm pretty psyched about it.
Perfect. And when he learned we were covering Shadowrun, this guest wanted to be our first three-timer. It's Dale.
Hey, chummers and drekheads. I'm ready to jack into the Matrix 6 years before Keanu did. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Got a nice frosty iced tea for you.
My favorite.
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, you need to spend all them holiday monies you got. Support the show by using our Amazon click-through link on www.ypbpodcast.com. Today's game is Shadowrun from 1993. In 1993, Beam Software came out with an odd game. It was based on a cyberpunk RPG series called Shadowrun, and it was kind of bizarre for the time and platform. It combined action with strategy and RPG parts. It was somewhat confusing, and Nintendo Power printed hints and secrets for it constantly. DJ, you nominated this game for coverage this week, so why don't you start the discussion off for us?
I think there were some weird cross wires here, because I actually had never heard of this game before.
I had heard Wait a second.
About Maniac Mansion.
This is unprecedented.
I was like, they must really want to do this game for some reason. But then I played it and it was awesome, so it worked out very well.
Well, I'm glad you liked it then. What were your thoughts?
It's a Christmas miracle.
We'll have to write down Maniac Mansion for later. I'm gonna note that. But yes, Shadowrun, fantastic.
Yeah, no, it is really awesome, and I meant to mention this earlier because I was a little confused, but I was like, oh, it's like a point-and-click game like Maniac Mansion, so he probably was just like, yeah, we'll do this instead. And then I saw the thing today that said I nominated it and was like, oh, that's funny. I mean, it is the holidays. Maybe I did that and don't remember it, but I'm pretty Maniac Mansion.
I'm sure Christmas was a wild time. You don't know who you're emailing and, you know.
This is, like, practically the same game.
Pretty much is, yeah.
In some ways, definitely. In other ways, definitely not.
But, yeah, I think the cyberpunk description is good, and it was cyberpunk before there was cyberpunk. It's almost like a Matrix meets Blade Runner point-and-click adventure. It's an interesting setting. Like kind of.
Well, it's Blade Runner meets fantasy because there's orcs and elves and everything
that
in here
is
too.
True. Yeah, there is an odd fantasy element.
Space elves, kind of.
They could be future elves.
It almost reminded me of like the second season of American Horror Story where they're just like throwing all these elements together. Like, there's alien abductions and there's a serial killer. Like, yeah, there's science fiction and there's elves and there's a dinosaur at one point. Why not? Oh, and it breathes fire. Why not? Throw it all together. Something will work.
Dale, did you play this before? And is that why you're jumping in?
reviewing an email that I forgot to read on a previous show. DJ wants to do Maniac Mansion, and Dale is probably game for Shadowrun.
Oh.
So Dale actually nominated this, although I completely forgot about that. That was all the way back in November. How can I?
That explains a lot.
How can I possibly remember that far back?
No. It wasn't documented or anything. So.
Yeah, I remember when we were wrapping up the, what was it, the Metal Gear show? I think I said something along the lines of, oh yeah, let me know if you end up doing that Shadowrun show. And you said, oh yeah, DJ is doing it. So that'll be perfect. We'll have more people on. Like, great.
Well, good thing you mentioned it, since you actually did nominate it. That is good.
Oh yeah. No, yeah, I originally played Shadowrun in almost 20 years ago. I remember it was the first Super Nintendo game I played, not on a Super Nintendo, because my friend's like, hey, check out my cool new website. I'm like, oh, this is the only game I could see on there. And I played the heck out of it. And I had no idea it was based off a tabletop RPG Dungeons and Dragons when I first played it until a few years after the fact. But nor have I went on to play the tabletop RPG, but I've supported the game ever since. Eventually I tracked it down on eBay and picked it up, and this is the first time I really put a serious amount of time into the actual Super Nintendo version since I tracked it down online, and it felt really good just having all the, I don't know if you guys have ever played a game where, like a Final Fantasy or something, after not playing it for several years or so, and you're just surprised at how much you remember it, like the back of your hand, like, oh, yep, all right, yep, I gotta do this, just kind of like a little checklist for the opening levels and stages for your order of progress. But that's what it was like for me for the first few hours there.
Yeah, it seems, yeah, I've definitely replayed games like that where you get into the swing of things, and the beginning is a little confusing. Like, you literally wake up from a morgue and you have no idea who you are or what you're supposed to do, and you're just picking up clues along the way, just kind of wandering around and hoping you don't get shot.
Yeah, I was not used to... I guess I never really was much of a PC gamer when I first played it. Playing it again now, putting serious time into it now after playing a good amount of PC games since the first time I played it, I was just like, you know, why didn't this game come out on PCs originally? This interface would have seemed perfect for it.
That is the whole thought I had about this game is like, I wish I could use a mouse to control this,
this gun
reticle in the hand.
That is the biggest problem with this game is the controls. It is insanely annoying.
I mean, eventually, I put so much time into it, I got used to it and didn't mind it, but it definitely made scrolling through, like, the text dialogue options a lot easier, and obviously moving the cursor around, but for what it's worth, I have played a fair share of other games that have, like, console games that have on-screen cursors, and this one is actually, as far as, like, sensitivity goes, it's actually one of the better ones.
Yeah. It is good that it does. Once you point at a bad boy, you start shooting at him, it'll lock on once they start moving around.
The weird thing is that this game, you cannot play it with the Super Nintendo mouse. They did have a mouse for the system.
Yeah, that is true.
And it,
it just seems perfect for this.
It came out before this game came out, and can't play it.
Oh, it came out before? That's even weirder. Yeah.
Or at least have an option for it.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, man. And then I don't know if you, I guess one other dumb little factoid to point out, FASA also helped develop on this game. They're on the opening screen credits, and they're the same guys that ended up working under, getting acquired by Microsoft, and they made the Crimson Skies on original Xbox, and then they made the ill-fated Shadowrun game on 360 that was probably not was the Shadowrun game nobody wanted.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, as noted, it is sort of a cult classic. I definitely hadn't heard of it. I mean, besides not having a Super Nintendo, but
I've heard of it, but I know more about it because I played the recent reboots of it on PC.
As an avid tabletopper, have you ever played the board game version?
There is not a board game, it's an RPG.
I thought it was a board game. Oh, okay.
Not board, a tabletop RPG, like Dungeons and Dragons.
I read that wrong. Sure. Then I guess not.
Yeah, I'm big into board games, not so much into the old make them up, believe them, make believe them ups.
Way too nerdy for you. Yeah.
I have picked up the Steam games. I've been, they're in the old backlog queue. Eventually, I'll get around to them.
Yeah, if you like this Super Nintendo Shadowrun, you definitely would like the PC version because it's, I think it kind of follows the same story. Like you wake up in a morgue and you're trying to figure out what happened to you, and the combat is a lot better in it's a strategy game. It's like XCOM. It's turn based. It's not real time.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I remember just seeing some clips and all that, and I remember telling myself, I'm like, I gotta support this. I want to make sure they keep making more of these. So I even bought that new Hong Kong one that was just off the latest Steam sale. I hear the expansions or like the follow ups are better than the first one they put out. Because what they already have like three.
I have not played. Haven't played the expansions yet.
Yeah, but yeah, this.
So you did play the PC ones, Todd?
I played the PC. And I have an expansion, but I haven't played the expansion yet.
Mm. What did you think of the Super Nintendo one here, Todd?
Super Nintendo one. So I'll just go from my experience from the beginning in this game, which is, I'm familiar with RPGs, how they go, how you walk around and you play the role in a game.
Been around the block a few times.
I've been through some deep personal. Story-driven experience RPGs, and so
of course,
this one I woke up and I walked outside and started getting shot, and some guy said, "Hey, you need to get a gun," and so I just followed him, and I found a gun on the ground and I picked it up, and I blasted this orc that was shooting at me. Then I walked a little bit more and I found a magical dog, and he said, "My time is not yet nigh. I need to go look for some items."
Of course.
And then after that, I walked around the city for like 30 minutes and I could not find a single thing to do. I walked into a building and got destroyed by some guards. I walked into a market and I didn't have enough money for anything. And that's about it. That's all as far as I got.
I had to
find a video and watch somebody play it to figure out what was going on and what to do after getting the gun.
I mean, there is not much direction.
Yeah, there's.
I used the gun the whole time.
Yeah, I started off on my own, but I ended up, just for the show's sake, I ended up following a guide just to point me in the right direction and be like, this is what you should do. Because it is just, you just talk to people and you pick up like keywords that you can then ask to other people. So it is very text heavy. It's very like interacting with the right person using the right dialogue. And if you don't know what you're doing, that could be very confusing.
Yeah, the words you get are like bolded, and it's like, do you have the tickets to the club?
And then you get to ask another random orc man about the tickets or the club.
Hitmen.
Hiring.
You could also use a more walk-in-like interpretation. The tickets to the club.
It's a great concert.
I gotta
replay it now with that.
That is the part I got stuck on where I don't know. I think the tickets are in the morgue, but I don't know how to get the guy's body from the mortician.
One of the morticians has the tickets.
They're in the filing cabinet, right?
No, what happens is, spoiler alert, everyone. You eventually find a key to like your own apartment. And if you go back to the morgue, because you wake up literally out of a morgue slab and then the doctors run away, they think you're a zombie. But if you go put on sunglasses that you find in your apartment, you can then talk to the doctors because they think you're human again. These sunglasses are an excellent disguise.
No, I did that, but they would not give me the tickets.
You had to show them your Lone Star badge. Did you have the Lone Star badge?
Oh, right, that's another part of it.
No, where do you get the Lone Star badge?
I don't remember.
I think it's at, because if you keep going, go ahead.
you buy it from a random person in a bar, the way most people, you know, impersonate police officers, I assume.
Hey, I'm Officer Lone Star. Yeah, it's just this chain of events that you have to follow correctly.
Oh, my God. Well, it's like they tell you about the Lone Star, but they don't really give you an indication of where you can get it from.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I needed.
It's someone else gives you that indication.
Oh, my God.
Someone you probably didn't talk to.
Nope.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if I had more time to devote to this and not just on, like, a weekly game, I think I would end up appreciating it, like, just getting used to the clunky controls and just exploring and getting details. I mean, that is the kind of game I like.
This game is really, it's a deep, story-driven RPG, but it's different than any other RPG of the era, really, because it's dark and gritty, and it's, the way you're talking about it makes it sound like you did actually play the tabletop RPG. Like, oh, I had to go talk to the guy, and he had to give me the ticket, and I had to find the guy, and, you know, so it's a pretty good translation from a tabletop RPG.
Yeah. Like, straight down to the skills. Like, you get, like, point levels in various skills, like firearms and...
computer hacking.
Yeah, I kept trying to hack some computer, and it would not let me. So.
Oh, yeah. Don't do it without a guide. You got to use a guide for that. It's very... it's pretty much trial and error without
it's,
it.
Oh, man. It's like, it's like Minesweeper, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Like
a little thing comes up and it lets you know like how many mines basically there are. There are these little like guardian computer programs. You have to like basically defuse like mines. And a little thing comes up and will say how many are within like an 8-square radius of you between like 2 and 8. And then you can guess and try and defuse. And if you're right, you can defuse it. And if you're wrong, you lose a little bit of health.
Ah.
Yeah, it's and then, pretty much Minesweeper.
Yeah, it's basically Minesweeper. And then you use that to, like, sometimes you just break into people's bank accounts, and then you can also use it to, like, unlock doors and activate elevators and stuff. So later on in the game, it becomes, like, pretty central to how it works.
Yeah, I think that's how Snowden got the information, right? He just played Minesweeper a lot.
Minesweeper and a Lady Gaga CD. I think
that's
what
you said. Exactly. Lady
I love these shows and video games where hacking into a computer is just like a visual program. Like you have to fly the spaceship through all the gates. And like you're in Tron, you gotta hack into it.
You type furiously.
Yeah.
You're just constantly typing. And the faster you type, the better you're at hacking. You are at
hacking. And well, in the hacking in the PC, the recent PC game is, I think it's a little bit more fun. It's like a battle where you battle little lightning bolt guys on a battlefield.
That's much more accurate, yeah.
Like the AC/DC symbol?
Yeah. But they're purple.
Oh.
That means like computer.
You guys play the Genesis version of Shadowrun, but on there, that sounds like what you just described kind of is like the Genesis version. It's a lot more action-oriented. You got this weird metallic-looking silhouette, and you kind of just wave your arm around and cast like these cybernetic lightning bolts at random little computer chip guardians. And I'm like, wow, this is way more fun than the SNES version.
Huh. Well, I do have notes here. In addition to the Super Nintendo game, there was a Genesis version released in 1994, and a Sega CD version released only in Japan in 1996. It was actually the last game released for the Sega CD, and all three versions are different, but they're based on the same Shadowrun tabletop RPG series. And although it was well regarded by critics, and it's a cult classic now, Shadowrun sold horribly. A Kickstarter revival was funded and then released in July 2013, and it got good to very good reviews. The new game, Shadowrun Returns, was a tactical turn-based RPG, kind of similar to XCOM and Baldur's Gate. It came out for the PC, tablets, and cell phone devices. So, yeah, I think Teeb mentioned the PC one was like XCOM. And
yeah.
It yep. seems strange that they would do a completely new one for the Genesis only a year later. I mean, I guess they were simultaneously in development.
They were probably, yeah, they were probably simultaneously built out.
That just seems weird.
I believe it's by two different companies. That was the
right
thing.
I think the company that did the Genesis version did one of your favorite games, Vector Man.
Oh, perfect.
Let me double check that. Was it Blue Sky? I think that's correct. Blue Sky. Ooh.
Perfect.
Ooh. Yeah, the Genesis one was it was an action RPG also, though it not quite a run and gun, though playing it right away. You get that impression that you're running around, you can shoot, you don't got the cursor like you do in the Super Nintendo version, but you had to play it very methodically and just kind of like pick your spots, not kind of go in guns blazing. Just kind of like the SNES version. Once you kind of got a good feel for how it all worked, unfortunately getting that good feel for the gameplay in the Genesis version is just like this one. It takes like about an hour or two learning curve. Then you can start cruising and get, and it's a great game on there. But I remember it was just a couple years ago, my little brother got the game, and he's like, oh, let's play through this at the same time, and we could just give each other tips, and we'll have a big old marathon with it. I'm like, all right, sure, that sounds good. And actually, I busted out my Nomad, and we're both playing it at the same time. And he was trying to run and gun, and he was dying all the time in like the first 10 minutes, and he's like, this sucks, play something else. I'm like, what? No! And
promised.
We were talking about that day for getting that big gaming day planned for like a good year or two in advance, and done in 10 minutes. I was pretty devastated.
Was there a mouse pointer in the Genesis one?
No cursor. So, okay. Yeah, that made it. And then, like I said earlier, the Matrix hacking was a lot more action oriented and not none of this dumb puzzle crap that you need a guide to get through or be really good at Minesweeper. I had to use a guide to get through all the hacking segments.
Yeah, I just used save states. Otherwise, I think I would have gone insane.
Just exploded. Too many times. In the game, of course.
Yes. This is a prime example of a. There's a trope called guide, dang it. Like, I can't imagine trying to beat this game, like, in 1993, like, without a guide. And it was constantly...
Oh, yeah.
It was constantly in a Nintendo Power. Like, people were always writing in to ask questions about Shadowrun.
If I had, like, a month straight to devote to it, to ask every single person that I met every single keyword, then I'm sure I could figure it out eventually.
Yeah, I watched a speed run through this, and it was 2 hours. And this is a guy that knew where to go and what he was doing. Right. And there's just like random twists and turns he was doing.
Like when he
there's no
like
there's no way
places he was going
yeah.
or
yeah different places going back to talk to somebody.
Yeah, it's a lot of backtracking for sure. Now, did you guys run into the problem where you were constantly either too far away or too close to a door?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, right on top of it.
That is one of the worst parts. It would then hit you in the face, so you back up.
And then you made that great groaning noise.
Yeah. And then you back up and click it again, and you're too far away to open it. It's like there's this very small sweet spot just to open a door. And it's just stuff like that because you have to go up to it, bring up the cursor by hitting a button, click the door, and then they at least hot-buttoned the opening to the right trigger, I think. So you could kind of click it and then right trigger, but just trying to open a door took like 5 clicks. And then it might not work.
That constantly bugged me. And the other thing that bugged me was any random encounter would knock my health down to like half. Like just
walking in the street would.
Yeah, just walking around like trying to get back to that.
Well, you got to spend those karma points on your body.
Grind that karma.
Devote time to your body.
Well, it's so funny having beaten the game because at the beginning, like, you're killed so easily, and then at the end when you've like fully upgraded and you have all the armor and stuff you can buy too, you're like literally nearly invincible. There's only like a handful of enemies that can even damage you once you're fully upgraded. Some of them, it's just like their bullets literally just like bounce off of you.
Yeah, they're doing 1 point of damage.
Yeah, I read that on a little site called The Internet where it said once you get armor that you basically cannot be stopped, but the bosses also have tons and tons of hit points. So, mm-hmm. like, the boss fights can take a little bit at the end of the game.
But interesting.
I wouldn't know anything about the end of the game since I couldn't even get past the bar and into the concert.
Oh, no.
The end of the game is remarkably anticlimactic because there's no, like, final boss. You just defeat a computer program with the little minesweeper game.
Yep.
And then the building you're in blows up.
Yep. You fly away in a helicopter.
The end.
Well, you do fight a boss right before that, but I mean, that being the last scene of the entire game is very anticlimactic. It's like, oh, now I'm going to fight the real boss. Nope. Just minesweeper.
Just hacking again.
They ran out of money at that point in development.
I think there was a piece of text. There's like a guy named who calls himself Otto, who you fight, who's guarding the computer. But this person had never been mentioned before. And at that point, my guy was like maxed out, and I killed him in like 10 seconds. So if he was the last boss, it was not very satisfying.
Otto the janitor.
I didn't beat it, but I got until where I originally played the game in 97. I think I got to the part where I was messing around with the vampire dudes, the Dark Blade Club. So I think that's starting to get into the last stretch of the game. Maybe, I don't know, DJ, do you have a good idea where that's about for me?
Yeah, that's a little more than halfway, and that's where the game starts to get, like, super weird. Like,
yeah, there's so many elements.
You fight a vampire, a jester, and a dinosaur in short succession.
I fought an octopus already.
Yeah, an octopus that was pretending to be your ex-girlfriend, no less.
Yeah. Wow. She said, come meet me in the warehouse out by the water, and then she just turns into an octopus.
Mm. They're known to do that.
That was the original catfishing, octopusing.
Yeah. Octopusing.
Maybe they were watching too much of that Japanese porn anime stuff, turning it into tentacles.
Now, Steven, this is a family program.
I didn't swear. That makes it okay.
Mm, okay.
That's right.
Suggestive dialogue.
Sexual situations. Just
TV PG-14.
I'm sorry. I've had some frosted iced teas tonight. So.
Ooh, that's my favorite.
Yeah, you can definitely feel the... even though this is a kind of weird, dark game, you can feel Nintendo's heavy hand.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially when the bad guys die in a pool of blue liquid.
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense for the whole theme of everything, though, kind of.
Are they robots?
Yeah, you got your androids and your orcs. They got their orc blood and their octopus ink blood and... Nintendo borrowed for Splatoon later on. They're a key inspiration for them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I learned in my guide reading as well that apparently there's two different versions of this. I think kind of like what happened with Maniac Mansion, the game I mentioned earlier, where like an unedited version went out and then Nintendo caught a bunch of stuff and were like, whoa. And made them kind of like, you know, make it more more kid friendly.
Hmm.
Oh, I just found a little snippet here that says the ROM image of the first version of Shadowrun contains a much more crude script with more sexual, suggestive, and violent phrases. For example, one line is changed from morgue guys to chop shop guys.
Whoa.
Hmm.
Huh. That's pretty racy.
So gruesome. These are human beings.
Yeah. It's kind of how, like, in the that game Snatcher, which is another noir game, there's a naked robot lady in it for Sega CD, but not for Genesis, I believe.
Let me write this down. Snatcher, Sega CD. Okay.
That's one I've always wanted to play, but I can never track it down. Actually, I have the Sega CD, and
hold on.
And if you try to track down the game online, it goes for a pretty penny. But I got all the other crappy Sega CD games, and there's a few gems that I want, except for Snatcher.
Oh, important question: do you have Slam City with Scottie Pippen?
Why? Yes, I do.
I
have the Sega 32X CD version of Slam City with Scottie Pippen.
So that is a real game.
Yes.
Well, I want to stress that. Okay.
No, it's not. It's not Scottie Pippen's Puzzle Challenge, which
still stuck in development. Still stuck in development.
Yeah, I'm working on it, but I'm sick this week, so.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, I'm working out the bricks. Ha! It's a little basketball pun.
Bow.
Is Slam City about Scottie Pippen's foray into pro wrestling? Is this guy like Shaq Fu?
Oh, man. Oh,
now that is a good game idea, but no.
Now that completes the trilogy of Scottie Pippen-themed video games.
Yeah. Now, Dale, you can step in here if I'm incorrect, but I believe it is a basketball game which mostly consists of, imagine Dragon's Lair, but if it was basketball... Like grainy,
exactly right.
Like grainy full motion video clips of basketball.
Yeah, and then like
not even animated by Don Bluth.
No, that would be fun.
You're 100% right. It's one-on-one hoops there, and I think you play to like 11 or 21. I can't remember. And you'll just be dribbling, and then you'll see like a Dragon's Lair style up light. Right, left, down animation. And if you don't press it correctly, the defender will swat the ball away or whatever, and or you'll make your basket. And that's all there is to it. Yeah, and I couldn't get the timing down for the life of me in that game. That game is not the best.
Yeah,
hidden gem.
It's because I did. We've talked so much about Scottie Pippen. Video games that I did look into it once, and it sounded bad and not fun bad. It sounded bad. So that will not be our first Sega CD game, unfortunately.
The only reason I got it was because it was one of five games that came out for that 32X Sega CD hybrid kind of console there, and I was just like, well, I may as well get all these games to get a complete collection of them, and that was a mistake. But it wasn't that expensive of a game, so I guess I don't regret it too bad.
Were any of them good besides Knuckles Chaotix?
Oh, no. I don't got all the 32X games, but there's this 32X and the Sega CD, and then they released five games under a special label called the Sega 32X CD, which all it did was it played the Sega CD games, but it used the little extra horsepower that the Sega 32X provided and made like the FMV a little better, a slightly higher resolution. So like, yeah, games like Slam City and Corpse Killer and Fahrenheit looked a little sharper than and a little bigger resolution than what you would have gotten from playing it on the Sega CD.
Yeah, I never knew they comboed together.
Yeah, it never really took off. It was
I just want to take a minute to appreciate the name Corpse Killer.
Corpse Killer was actually kind of all right. It was just like a Lethal Enforcers kind of clone, just a light gun kind of game.
But yeah, the name very very interesting choice.
Well, yeah, because if why would you need to kill a corpse? Is it a zombie game or?
Kinda, yeah. You're in the jungle driving with a.
You're in the jungle.
Yeah, driving in a jeep in the jungle, and then your jeep crashes, and you go on this like on rails like gun shooter with killing a bunch of corpses and zombies and whatnot. And
maybe are they voodoo zombies?
Yeah, actually, there is a voodoo element in the game. Yes.
The jungle tipped me off.
It was a product of its times, and it was a. I know those light gun games were always kind of a guilty pleasure of mine. So except I didn't have the Genesis light gun, so I had to use a cursor to do all the shooting away there. But It was okay.
Yeah, I think they were wise to try to cash in on the voodoo craze of the mid-90s following films such as Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Yeah, cashing in on that
pop-up Santeria
shot.
By Sublime.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. And the character Voodoo in Shaq Fu.
Oh, the big bad voodoo daddies, of course. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So yeah, that was a hot take in 1994.
Yeah, no, and of course the famous Canadian production with Adam West, Zombie Nightmare, where you know, this menacing guy gets brought back with a curse of a gypsy or voodoo lady. So
yeah, they're pretty much the same. So
yeah, Adam,
not sure which one they were.
He plays a crooked cop who has his way with a lady. It's fun for the whole family.
Yeah.
Yep.
Another one to write down for the future. I've already forgotten the name of it.
Probably Dogma is my favorite mock voodoo scene out of a movie. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
That.
Now, because I didn't play that much of Shadowrun, is there any voodoo in Shadowrun?
Yeah, there is.
Shaman.
Yeah.
There's shaman.
Yeah, there's a shaman.
Because it has every goddamn other mythic in it, seemingly.
Shaman is actually a class you can play as. Not in the Super Nintendo one, but in the real RPG.
Are there any werewolves in Shadowrun?
I think that's the only thing it's missing.
Yeah.
We did mention vampires. Is there a mummy? I'm not sure.
Oh, there's no mummy. There's various ghouls and zombie-type creatures, but no mummy.
Yeah, they're pretty much zombies.
Yeah, I have a glossary open for the RPG Shadowrun, and there's no werewolf in here.
Ooh. A rare oversight.
Go. Yes.
They were not being non-canonical.
Yeah, well, yeah, they clearly stuck to the source material.
Yeah, maybe we'll get a werewolf expansion pack.
Mm. For the PC, right?
Yeah, we'll get Jacob in this game properly.
Mm. Wish you could name yourself.
Oh yeah, that's the name of the main character too, Jake.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Well, if you examine the tiny tab that comes out of your morgue thing, it's like Jake Tapper or something like that.
Tapper.
It's Jake Armitage, which apparently it became like some sort of like cyberpunk trope to have that be the last name of characters because of this game.
Yeah, this might have spawned the whole cyberpunk thing. I mean, kind of spawned from Blade Runner.
This game probably did more though than Blade Runner.
Yeah, it's much more well known, so I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
The player takes on the role of Jake Armitage, a man suffering from amnesia after having been critically wounded by assassins.
I will say that's probably the general theme of the game. Just is probably one of the reasons why, when I originally played it, why I don't know. I guess I took such a liking to it is because I think this was like the first RPG I was exposed to where it kind of was a different overall setting compared to like the first few years worth of like Dragon Warriors and Final Fantasies and whatnot, to where it's like, hey, this one's set in the future, and you know, we actually use guns instead of swords, and and Earthbound, and that's why I guess those are probably like two of my favorite RPGs of the 16-bit era, just because like just different settings, different times, and just I don't know. I guess that one all it took to go ways with me, and
yeah, I have said many a time on this show that Earthbound is the best RPG on Super Nintendo.
Have you?
I have said that.
Oh. I listen closely every week.
Well, I'm very partial to Super Mario RPG, but Earthbound is incredible.
I think Earthbound, if you are a serious RPG player, so Huel, close your earbuds. Earthbound is your game because it runs contrary to all of the other RPG tropes. It's kind of like a breath of fresh air.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. Why'd I have to close my ears for that?
Well, you just can't appreciate the deep, 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 deep storylines of an
it's
RPG.
It's another game that has dinosaurs.
Yeah, that's true.
And dogs.
Yep.
And hippies.
That's where I got stuck. I got stuck at an Earthbound. I couldn't beat, was it Carbon Dog and Diamond Dog? Was it a combo, I think? And one of them was invincible. I couldn't figure out the trick to beat them. I don't know how far that was into the game, but weren't you like doing a bunch of that mine time traveling into the dinosaur age or whatever? And it's been forever.
No, that's pretty deep into the game. You're almost done.
I recently got the Wii U version, so I'm looking forward to restarting it and experiencing it again. But I'm already getting pretty bummed out because it wasn't too long after that I lost my save progress and all that investment gone.
Cool.
Oh, that is always the worst back in the day when you would lose the old save games.
Like a battery issue?
No, it was just kind of like same as Shadowrun, just experiencing the world of not so legal Super Nintendo games, and then you have your first computer crash on you, and that was all it took. But
someone minesweepered it away, I guess.
Yep,
hacked in there.
Exactly, and that's why I got as far as I did in Shadowrun and Earthbound, but. Yeah, and I also picked up that Earthbound Beginnings when they put that out on Wii U also, so I'm looking forward to one day playing both of those back-to-back.
My only Earthbound experience is playing the characters in Smash Brothers, so there's that.
Well,
Smash, Ness is my go-to.
Hitting people with yo-yos and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. That baseball bat.
That is a good way to experience them.
Yeah, it's almost like I played the game, so...
By the way, I've never actually seen a copy of Shadowrun out in the wild. I've only ever played this game on emulation. According to price charting, it goes for $46.
So the one copy you have is broken.
It's a collector item.
Oh yes, I only play ROMs of games I legally own. Yeah,
because your game was broken, so.
Yes, I bought a used copy for $1. That was
That's right. I sold Steve my copy for $1. Then he sold it back to me for $1. So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, we're both covered.
Okay.
I think that's how that works.
Well, as long as you delete it within 24 hours, you'll be okay.
Probably. He played it for 23 hours straight, and then just deleted it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
All right. A new cart goes for, by the way, $300. So,
oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's pretty pricey.
I'll say the copy I got from eBay several years ago. It was just a cart, no instructions or box, but it was, I want to say, like around about 25-ish or so, give or take a little bit. But I want to say the Genesis went for about the same too. It just used copy online.
Yeah, I guess just cause it doesn't sell well, so it's more rare.
I did run across the Sega CD version in the wild once at a convention, and I asked the dealer about it, and he's like, "No, you don't get this. unless you know Japanese, there's a lot of text." He was warning me, so I was just like, "Ah, okay."
Yeah, I don't think it was ever translated.
Yeah, it was said that it was only released in Japan.
Yeah, there is one copy on eBay, and it's $120. Oh, and it's from Japan, but free shipping.
Woohoo! Oh, perfect.
Suddenly, everyone's changed their mind.
Well, from Japan, it's like they're just giving money away.
I know, it comes with a free kimono.
Ooh. Dragon?
No, the garment of clothing.
Oh, okay.
Still sold.
All right, wrapping up Shadowrun discussion. DJ, do you have any final thoughts or notes?
I just loved, I don't know if anyone else experienced this, there are also some just random people who bear nothing to do with the plot, who just say incredibly bizarre things. There's I don't know if anyone else saw the dancing hippie who caught my attention because the way he was gyrating and moving his hands made me think he was doing something other than dancing initially, and I did a double take.
Are we still talking about the video game, or is this a story from your personal life?
It's just in an alley.
It can be two things. anyhow, but when you talk to this dancing hippie, it screams about being attacked by weasels. And it was another moment when this game made me... I like to imagine that Weird Al's Albuquerque was partially inspired by it.
Ah, yes.
That's basically what I'm getting at.
Perfect.
Just as I hope the talking dog inspired one of my favorite episodes of The Simpsons, where Homer goes in search of his soulmate.
The chili
After
episode?
Talking dog tells him to, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Johnny Cash.
Mm. Exactly.
Yeah. I can't provide you any new information. This is just your memory.
Steven, do you have any final thoughts?
You know, this is a game I definitely would have, if I had it in like 1993, I would have loved it. But, you know, nowadays I just found it a little tedious. Like Brisket, I just kept wishing I had a mouse to play this.
Yep. That exactly my thought. If I had this game when I was a kid, this probably would be right up there with my all-time favorites, just because it's so different than every other RPG that I played as a young boy.
The setting, yeah. That does make it stand out.
Yeah, it would have displaced Lord of the Rings on my list of favorite childhood RPG.
Yeah. Well, maybe your list goes like Lord of the Rings, then Illusion of Gaia, and then... then what?
Quest 64.
And then Quest 64.
How dare you put Illusion of Gaia on that list. That is actually a good game.
Oh, boy.
It's just a game that my mom stole the t-shirt from, and she wore around. Yeah, I don't know if you guys heard that episode, but Illusion of Gaia, I got a free t-shirt with that game, and my mom decided she was going to wear it around. I don't think she ever played the game, so it was kind of bizarre.
How dare she?
I'm just imagining young Steven in a video game store with his mom, just like, Mom, you're embarrassing me. I don't like Illusion of Gaia. You're making me look so lame right now.
Well, it's just sad that she stole the opportunity for him to wear it to school and become the coolest kid to walk the halls of middle Rhode Island
Cherahoe
Elementary.
I'm in farming country. They would have loved that.
Who did I leave off on? Todd, anything else?
This is one of the best games that has a hero, a protagonist with amnesia. Probably the second best one after Planescape Torment, which is the best one.
Planescape Torment.
Yep.
Interesting.
Look it up. It's a deep RPG story driven.
Is that a family game?
Sure. It's got a disembodied skull flying around giving you comic relief.
Oh yeah, sounds nice.
Sounds like Manic Mansion. Or Maniac Mansion, sorry.
Manic Mansion, yeah.
Manic House.
Manic Big House.
Has one played or not have? Dale, any final thoughts on this game that you actually nominated?
Yeah, I know we haven't touched much on the soundtrack at all for what it's worth, but I really dug the soundtrack throughout the game. Changes appropriately wherever you go in the game. I love all the club music they play in the game and just the general theme music and like the main theme that you guys closed out the show with last week. Oh, I love it. I love it. I'm just a big fan of the soundtrack for the game. And just kind of echoing what Steve said earlier, make sure you play with a guide to start out with, because even when I was kind of retracing my steps and a lot of it was kind of ringing back to me pretty familiar there, it takes a little bit of trial and error, to say the least, to get to your apartment building for the first main save point in the game. And if you don't get there right away within like the first 15, 20 minutes, like it took me, like I think I, even though I was getting familiar with it all again, and I kind of had a general sense of what I knew I was doing, I died like I think five or six times before I remembered my way around the map and got back to my apartment building, and I was just like, I could see how that could be a turnoff for someone playing this game for the first time without a guide, for just being like, what am I doing? I'm dying over and over. Screw this game. I'm done. So, yeah, unless you got a high tolerance for a little bit of old-school trial and error, definitely bust out a walkthrough or just have something to reference from time to time there. But if once you get past that and get a good feel for the game, there's a really good game to be had in here.
Yeah. Game for manly, studly hackers who don't need save points everywhere like these modern handsy gamers.
That's right.
They need to have their hand held every 10 seconds. No, I mean, as for the music, I thought it fit the setting perfectly, and I liked pretty much every different location had its own theme, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Alrighty, so I guess it's time to go to the emails portion of the show. Todd, do you have any emails this week?
Yeah, I got an email.
Excellent.
From a new writer.
Ooh.
He writes, "Salutations, citizens of YPB. This question is for Steve. Why have there been no Vidyagame news posts on the blog lately? Word on the street is that you had a baby out of wedlock and are dealing with the repercussions. Love the show. Sincerely, Ben Peterson from Boulder, Colorado."
Huh. Accusations. Flying.
I know, scandalous, and I would like to tell Ben Peterson of Boulder, Colorado right now that I do not appreciate the letters I'm getting in the mail from Mrs. Peterson, alleging paternity that simply is not true, and by the way, I'm not taking a blood test. So, but...
Yeah, and when's the last time you were in Boulder, anyway?
Oh, well, when's the last time part of me was in Boulder, I think is a better question. But... But no, there should be a news post on Friday. There will be a news post because it was going to be well, actually, by the time people listen to this, they will have already seen the post because
peek behind the curtain.
This is a time warp here.
Whoa, what day is it?
My mind's blown, man.
Man, I don't even know where I am right now.
I'll keep my eyes peeled. I always dig your little news roundups there, and that's like I said before. I think I referenced it. That's always a great way for me to keep on top of what's being posted. There's just so many blogs to keep track of. Just seeing a nice little roundup of those links. Real convenient.
I mean, right now we have 300 something emails on the old box. So I gotta clean that out. Just to, you know, it's the holidays. I'm a little busy.
Yeah, I think everyone else has had time to maybe catch up on episodes and send in questions.
Yeah. You know, I had to wrap presents. I had to talk to Santa. I had to talk to his elves. I had to talk to Hanukkahbot, Kwanzaabot.
Right.
Coolio. So all the favorite deities I had to talk to.
Dale, did you receive any emails for the show or otherwise?
No emails, but I did put a shout out on Twitter earlier today. I opened up the fax line with the fax number for a short window, and sure enough, got a hot fax through
the telewires. A fresh hot fax.
I love when they come out steamy.
Ooh, heck yeah. And from fax user, returning fax user, bring back slam ball.
Ah, oh, yeah. appropriate.
Yes. And, oddly enough. I got this fax a couple hours ago, and I swear, when we were talking about some of this stuff a little earlier, just the sheer irony of the similarities of what was discussed from Bring Back Slam Ball's fax just had me going, oh my. But regardless, here's his fax. Hey, YPB, did you know I used to be a pro game programmer for a year in the mid-90s? Ooh. I put a lot of work into the underrated Slam City with Scottie Pippen on the Sega CD and 3DO.
Oh!
Ooh.
I was responsible for the catering and all the costumes. Speaking of Slam City, there seems to be a mild resurgence in FMV games this last year with games like Her Story, Contradiction, Need for Speed, and the return of Tex Murphy. Do you have any favorite FMV games or recall investing a lot of time into any? Thanks.
I really only have one, which is Dragon's Lair.
Is that really considered an FMV game? Because it is a cartoon. I mean, it is, I guess it's video, but...
Yeah, but it is fully rendered video.
I mean, that's really the only one I can think of.
It's pre-rendered.
Yeah, it's never been my genre of games.
Even as an avid PC follower.
Well, I mean, I've played a few games like Phantasmagoria, which has some FMV portions. I think it's mainly cutscenes in that one, though. But I don't have much experience. I didn't put any time in Night Trap. I didn't have a Sega CD, you know? So kind of missed out on that craze. I mean, the closest thing I was into that could be considered FMV is the intro to Resident Evil.
That is the first thing that came to mind for me, and it doesn't fit, but still.
It kind of does. For the cutscenes,
use
that technology. Like, first year PS1 Saturn games kind of were riding the last bit of that FMV wave.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't remember any of those games that were actually any good. Like, were most of them really bad?
They were all pretty bad. It's all QuickTime event, really. And I don't remember ever seeing a good review for one.
Yeah, arguably the worst game I ever played was an FMV game called Plot of the Cyberhead.
Ooh.
Ooh, go on.
Please.
I don't remember a whole lot about it beyond the fact that it claimed that it was supposed to be like this amazing combination of like novella and video game, but none of it really made sense. Basically, there were just FMV, you know, sequences, and then you had to put in a code, a four-digit code that was just based on a random date mentioned somewhere in like either the game itself or the materials that came with it.
Oh boy.
And then if you were wrong, you died. And if you weren't, you saw another terrible cutscene and then had to answer another one of these questions.
That sounds so bad.
Yeah, and you can literally beat it in probably like 5 or 10 minutes, I assume. I got to the last FMV thing and none of the codes I had available worked. And I was just like, well, this was terrible anyhow, and luckily, it only cost like $2 in the bargain bin, and now I know why.
Wow.
It was trying to teach you a lesson about life, that there's no way to beat the game except to go out and play life.
I saw there's you get what you pay for was the lesson there.
Oh, yeah, that one too.
Yeah, cool. I feel like there's arcade games that had FMV, but I can't recall any.
There's some games like Lethal Enforcers, Mortal Kombat, where they recorded people, and replayed their recordings.
Yeah, like digitized beyond actors.
Digitized, yeah.
I guess so. Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
The Area 51 shooter. I seem to see that in every other movie.
Oh,
theater,
that's
so.
Yeah. Right.
That, maybe Revolution that's X, thinking. Featuring yeah. Aerosmith.
Yeah, a lot of yes, that one too. Like a Hit lot of fighter. The light gun kind of games did do that. Okay, that's probably what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, but
not really the same thing.
As Dale mentioned earlier, those games are kind of guilty pleasures, though. Like,
yeah.
And some of them are just outright good, like Time Crisis. Man, I still like that game.
Oh, yeah, yep.
But that's, like, actual graphics.
Yeah, that's like an actual game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
It's like an actual game that you play.
With stuff and controls.
Yeah. It's not just watching a movie.
Yeah, I played a ton of those crappy FMV games on Sega CD and 3DO, but there are a couple that are kind of okay, or there's more guilty pleasures, just dumb, just to see the dumb, goofy campiness of the FMV and all that. Like, I played a lot. I played not a lot, I guess, like an hour or two of Night Trap. And that game's garbage. there's one on 3DO, the Daedalus Encounter, which for some reason...
Oh, Tia Carrere.
Yep, young Tia Carrere, yep. And the story is all kinds of ridiculous. You're like this dumb kind of like robot, or you got... if you remember, Source Code, where they got like the remnants of this guy's body in a machine. That's kind of what you are. You're controlling this like robot machine with like the leftover parts of your brain and all that. But it's just do a bunch of dumb puzzles. And if you do all the puzzles wrong, then Tia Carrere chastises you for screwing up. That game was actually kind of all right. Not great, but. And then, like, the old Need for Speed and Road Rash games on 3DO had some really dumb, campy, fun cutscenes in between all the races. Of course, Slam City was a lot of hot garbage, too. Yeah.
Well, listen, buying a Sega CD is like buying a classic car. You don't buy it to leave it in the garage with a cover on it. You got to bring it out on the open road. Listen to it purr.
Oh, yes.
CD clack around.
I do want to play some of these newer games, though. I hear many great things about Her Story. That's definitely one I want to check out here down the line.
Yeah.
Alrighty. DJ, have you received any emails?
I have not, unless you want to read some panicked emails about a grant that's due this week I just got from my supervisor during the podcast, but that might be a little inside baseball.
It is intriguing, but...
I think Inside Baseball was a good game for the Amiga. It was only released in Europe, though.
Hmm. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunate. Steve... Did you receive any emails this week?
I received one. Hi, Huel. Heard you're hosting, buddy. Good luck tonight. Who's your favorite video game sidekick? Sincerely, Drew Bledsoe and Brock Osweiler.
Ooh.
Huh. Wow, that is quite a combo.
I mean, they got some time on their hands now. They can...
Yeah.
Can, you know, ask you some questions from the headset.
Favorite sidekick? Would Kazooie count? Because you're kind of playing as Banjo.
There's a lot of good sidekicks. There's Tails.
Excuse me, I believe the question was directed at me.
Luigi.
I don't know if I consider Luigi a sidekick, because you kind of play as him a lot. I mean, I'm just trying to think of characters you don't ever play as. I guess Tails is probably the best.
That's a good point. Well, you can play as Tails if you're a player two, I think.
Right. But yeah, that kind of thing where you only play them if there's a co-op situation.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, with Banjo-Kazooie, there's like different controls and attacks you can do, but Kazooie's always in your backpack, so you're always pretty much Banjo the whole time.
Mm. Here's one for you, Huel.
A little puppy named
Dogmeat.
Oh my god, yes. Dog. Of course. How could I not be constantly thinking of Fallout? yeah, I love Dogmeat. Oh, there was a game called Dead to Rights. It was in the PlayStation 2 GameCube era, and there was an awesome dog sidekick in that too.
Shadow.
Yeah, Shadow. I love that game.
Shadow had a badass dog in Final Fantasy VI also. Interceptor.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. That might be the best RPG sidekick, since you don't really get to play as Interceptor. You just...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
you just
that kind of thing.
Constantly.
Yes, I will continue. The floor is open. Yes. Anyone else?
Yeah, here's one for you.
Oh.
How about a little a dinosaur named Yoshi?
Yes. You're riding strong on Yoshi. He helps you out.
Dinosaurs do make pretty much every game better. Like, there's never...
Except for Resident Evil.
You mean Dino Crisis?
Dino Crisis?
Yes.
Or Star Fox Adventures.
Yeah.
that's true. But think of how much better Shadowrun is because it has dinosaurs in it.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Could be.
Well, there is a fire-breathing dinosaur named Drake.
Oh, no. I actually got a favorite sidekick now. I'm going to have to say the adoring fan from Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion. That dude just cracked me up so many times when I'd have him follow me around. I'd go into a cave. He'd get slaughtered by, like, the first low-level enemy I'd run into. And then he'd regenerate in, like, 1 or 2 days game time later. Just follow me around. And then, you know, if you get bored with him, you just shoot flaming arrows into him and just watch him just... Fly mercilessly into the air. Oh, that guy was a trip. I loved him. Adoring fan. Best sidekick.
There you go. How cruel. Okay. Steven?
No, I off the top of my head, I think mine might be Claptrap from Borderlands.
That's not bad.
Yeah. He's a sassy robot.
So much sass.
Yeah. I like a little sass and even a little zest.
Oh yes, he could be zesty.
Yep.
Given the opportunity.
Yep.
Okay. Anyone else? I don't remember. I think that was about all I had.
All right. Did you get any emails, Huel?
No, I did not get a chance to check. Unfortunately, hopefully there'll be some waiting for me next week.
Scooty was too busy mailing me a little something.
Could be, yeah.
From his Christmas sack, apparently.
He had his hands full in many ways.
Oh, my God.
Okay, T, but any last thoughts here? Notes to go out on?
Yeah, my brain feels burnt.
Mm-hmm. Steve, any closing thoughts?
It was great to talk to you about Cool Spot tonight.
Yes, I'm glad you got that opportunity.
Man, who doesn't love the refreshing taste of 7-Up? Available in stores now.
All right, we're going to have to cut that. Dale, any parting words?
Oh, gosh. I guess if, you know, may I give a little... People who dig movie reviews or like that, I do a little movie review blog on the side. Mm-hmm. If it's on the old Blogspot, daleisgreat.blogspot.com. The astutely titled Dale is
modest.
Great.
Modest as always.
Yep. So there you go. But thanks for having me. This is always a blast for just talking old school games. So
yes, thanks for coming. And DJ, any parting thoughts or plugs? Apparently,
no plugs. You know, just want to say thanks for having me on again. This was a lot of fun, as always. And this was a blast.
All right. Yes, thanks for both of our guests. And we will leave you this week with a snifferoo of next week's episode.
Master, I don't think you quite realize what you got here. So why don't you just ruminate whilst I illuminate the possibilities? Well, Alibaba had them 40 thieves. Sherry's already had 1,000 tails. But Master, you in luck, cause up your sleeves, you got a brand of magic never fails. You got some power in your corner now. Some heavy ammunition in your camp. You got some punch. Job you and how. See, all you gotta do is rub that lamp. And I'll say, Mr. Lanza, what will your pleasure be? Let me take your order, jot it down. You ain't never had a friend like me. Life is your restaurant, and I'm your maitre d'. Come on, whisper what it is you want. You ain't never had a friend like me. Yes, sir, we pride ourselves on service. You're the boss, the king, the Shah. Say what you wish, it's yours, true dish. About a little more baklava. Have some of column A, try all of column B. I'm in the mood to help you, dude. You ain't never had a friend like me. Mama.
No, no. Can your friends do this? Can your friends do that? Can your friends pull this out their little hat? Can your friends go, woo! Hey, looky here. Can your friends go abracadabra, let it rip, and then make the sucker disappear? So don't you sit there, slack jaw, bony hide. I'm here to answer all your business threats. You got me bona fide, certified. You got a genie boy charged to fail. To help you out, so what you wish, I really want to know. You got a list that's 3 miles long, no doubt. Well, all you gotta do is rub like so. Hey-ho. Mr. Aladdin, sir, have a push up two or three. I'm on the job, you big nay bob. You ain't never had a friend, never had a friend. You ain't never had a friend, never had a friend. You ain't never had a friend. You never had a friend like me.